Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 5th of December, and I'm recording at 10 p.m. in that Greenwich Mean Time. Now, stock markets looking a little weary here overall, which is hardly surprising given the year that we've actually seen, although certainly not many markets have performed as well as Wall Street recently. But Wall Street's fallen back on some of the indices, such as the Dow, for the fifth consecutive day. I think also the S&P on that, although the NASDAQ is holding steadier still, up near its highs. Again, I think this is hardly surprising. I think we're getting some year-end profit-taking and book squaring. But I have been concerned, as you know, because Wall Street was very overextended relative to its 200-day moving averages. And it was also certainly valuations had increased. I haven't described it as a bubble. I think that would be somewhat of an exaggeration, but we certainly have had bubblish conditions in some of the more recently floated tech companies and some of the autonomies, which this service loves for the longer term. But you know, when you get them running up and selling at multiples of 25 times earnings, that's pricey. So in my opinion, the healthiest thing that could happen on Wall Street would be to get a correction that moves back to those rising 200-day moving averages. And there is a possibility, though, that we became sufficiently overextended so that when we next do see a correction of anything like that magnitude, that it would carry somewhat further. Meanwhile, it is still, increasingly, it is 547 days since Wall Street saw a correction of 10%. And that's unusual, and it's an unsustainable situation. And we know why this has happened. We have this massive tailwind in terms of the quantitative easing coming from the Fed. But the Fed will try to work its way out of QE, or begin to work its way out of QE, this month, I don't think, because you know Bernanke will be conducting the final meeting, and then as he hands over to Janet Yellen, assuming she gets approved, and I believe she will. And therefore, it's more likely to be in the new year that that changeover starts. But investors are already beginning to anticipate that. So I would tread carefully here in Wall Street. I certainly wouldn't chase anything higher is the main point I would make. I'm not looking for any big bear market, as you know, but I certainly think we could see a period of underperformance in the not too distant future, but on a very long term outlook, as you know from the Friday audios, I think Wall Street's in a very strong position overall. But carrying on from that, it was down today, and most of the markets in the Americas were down today, although I see Brazil, which has been under a bit of pressure recently, managed to rally against the global trend here. It's up 1.14%. European stock markets look like they were all lower, and we had biggish hits in Spain and Italy, down 1.5% and 1.75%. Respectively. So these European markets are breaking down out of the lower side of their trading ranges for the most part, and the runaway leader on the upside, which was the German DAX index, had that big downward dynamic yesterday, and it fell again in here today. Now looking at the Asian Pacific markets, we've also seen Japan fall back again from the highs that we had seen had been testing the year's earlier highs. I think it was the May highs, when a big downside K-day reversal occurred back in May, as you may recall and can see on the daily chart. And having rallied back up near those highs earlier in the week, it's and been somewhat overbought in the short term. It's not surprising we've seen a reaction here. Personally, I'd like to see the Nikkei 225. I'd like to see that stay above the 15,000 level. I think that would suggest that we would only see a sort of a short-term consolidation before renewed strength is seen. But that wish, of course, the market doesn't care what I'm wishing or hope to see on that. And the fact that Wall Street again was down today, other stock markets are soft, and that the yen has firmed a little bit. Remember, it had fallen to 103 yen to the dollar earlier in the week, and it's now at 101.76. So, Japan would may struggle to hold above this 15,000 level. We'll see. On a medium to longer term basis, I think it's likely to do quite well, be one of the better performers overall. Also, China, which we've talked about a lot, and I think they are getting their act together, except certainly not in terms of their boundaries in the regional seas, in that East China Sea. That's a bit of a reckless a development in my opinion there. And so I have a political concern overall, but the Chinese market is very competitively priced, and I think that's important. But the most interesting thing that has happened in here, and I was writing about this yesterday, and also talking about it a little bit in the audio, but the BJP party, which Narendra Modi is actually leading. You remember, he's the first minister from Gujarat, and the state of Gujarat, and he's been first minister there since 2001, I believe. And the growth rate in Gujarat has been 10% per annum since then. So it's way ahead of India's growth rate. And also, I read that in Gujarat, that during his time there as first minister, that they have seen a rise in electricity production of over 500%. And I believe it's the only Indian state that actually has a surplus of electricity this year, and some of the Indian states have regular blackouts 20-25% of the time because they don't have sufficient energy. So this is a savvy guy who knows how to run businesses, and he's got Tata Motors in his state, and Ford, I believe, chose to open a plant there. But the point that was so exciting that's happened in the elections that have taken place this week is that exit polls from the elections, they showed that Narendra Modi's party led, clearly led in, I believe, four out of the five states. Now, we'll get the confirmation over the weekend, one way or another. But the market responded explosively on its opening on Thursday, and we saw actually a 6% gain shortly after the opening. And that was pegged back and pegged back quite a bit. But it still closed up 1.25% and 250 points on the BSE Sensex index. My own feeling is, and I've said this before, I've said this over the last few months, that in a country such as India, where so often the whole democratic, beg your pardon, process, while commendable, is unwieldy and chaotic, and therefore governance really is everything. And Mr. Singh, the current Prime Minister of the Congress Party, is a wonderful chap and a hugely intelligent man as well, and very economically sophisticated. But he's 85 years old. I certainly don't hold that against him, but he's exhausted and he's dealing with a very difficult coalition, and he is unable to get his way sufficiently. So India needs a strong leader, and if it's Mr. Modi, well, I think that, and then you have a top central banker in there, and I've written about him again, and or I did yesterday, just appointed a few months ago, and we're talking about potentially what could be a hugely significant and bullish change overall. Now, the election may not be held until May of next year, so there are 5 months to go here potentially. But keep an eye on the Sensex, because if he does win, I think we'll break up out of these break above these previous highs in here, and it could be quite an exciting story once again. Okay, now I spent a lot of time on that, so I haven't got much left here. What else to mention? For you, the dollar a little bit weaker in here today. Sterling was firm, 136.72. I'm not sure the ECB will want it to be that high. Mario Draghi might try to push it down a little bit lower here, but we certainly don't have a euro crisis here right now. And nor are we likely to any time in the near term, in my view. What Mario Draghi has achieved has been phenomenal, but you've still got that European Commission, and governance is a serial problem. Economic governance, I'll put it that way. And in terms of commodity prices, generally mostly softer, but the London metals were all firmer in here today. And in terms of those all-important government bond yields, let me just check that U.S. 10-year, and that is, well, 2.87. Remember, I said when that gets above 2.8, that'll be an amber light flashing, because we're not seeing anything other than a medium-term consolidation since that early September high up near 3%. Rates pulled back, got down to 2.47, but are moving right steadily back upwards again. And certainly over the medium term, probably not the short term, but over the medium term, we will see a decisive break above that 3% level, and that'll cause a little bit more of a headwind for Wall Street. So I'll end on the same note. Be a little bit careful here about Wall Street for at least the short term. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.